I gave the example of a Baskin Robbins with 8,000 flavors and what that would look like. Like you'd walk down a counter like a mile long and the flavors are like six deep, you know, and just to get 8,000 flavors. And after, I think, the first like 3,000 flavors, they're sitting around, they're like, we don't have any more flavors. Like we have all the flavors. Like, do you want cherry lemon? Do you want chocolate lemon? Do you want chocolate lemon boysenberry lingonberry? Like, what? There's no 8,000 flavors. Okay, vaping products are marketed and sold in nearly 8,000 flavors that make them easier to use and more appealing to youth. That's the lieutenant governor. Parents, please talk to your kids about vaping. We understand that this can be a difficult topic to raise or to begin, but with resources provided through both of these public awareness campaigns, talking about vaping can be an important educational opportunity for both you and your children. You know what Lieutenant Governor Polito didn't say in there? Public health emergency. Didn't say a word about that. It's all about 8,000 flavors that make them easier to use and more appealing to youth. Vape pens and e-cigarettes are not safer alternatives to smoking, and they cause serious harm here and across our country. What are you basing that on? Because I could point you to a study that came out of the United Kingdom that found that vaping was helping people to quit smoking. That it was the most effective method to get people to quit smoking. And that people who quit smoking using vapes stayed off of cigarettes longer. They had better outcomes. But no, they come in 8,000 flavors to make them easier to use and more appealing to youth. How does a flavor make something easier to use, first of all? And second, where are these 8,000 flavors? All right, I'm going to stop going on about the 8,000 flavors, but that's ridiculous. So that's Lieutenant Governor Polito, okay? Not a single word about public health emergency. It's all about the children are vaping. The children are vaping. Here's Health Commissioner Monica Barrell. Our goal is simple. This is a quote. We do not want another generation of children to become addicted to nicotine. Okay. Well, you can't just ban e-cigarettes because you, Health Commissioner, don't want another generation of children to become addicted to nicotine. She goes on, we started to hear about these cases of vaping-associated pulmonary disease around the country, and as you heard, we mandated reporting at the Department of Public Health, and cases began to come in. We know that this is an issue, not only nationally, but here as well as Massachusetts. We do not know what is causing these illnesses, but the only thing in common is each one of these cases is the use of e-cigarettes and vaping products. Wrong. Wrong. Vaping products, yes. E-cigarettes, no. The CDC has not been able to conclusively rule out e-cigarettes as a cause of this vaping illness. Neither have they ruled in e-cigarettes. Okay? The answer to that question is we don't know. And she says, we do not know, but the only thing in common is e-cigarettes. No. No, the only thing in common is vaping products. And all of the evidence points to black market vaping products that contain THC. And that would fit with the fact that this is only happening in the United States of America. It's not happening in other countries. This isn't a global health emergency. This is limited to the United States. They sell e-cigarettes all over the world. You know, Canada doesn't have a problem with this. They've had one death. One death in Canada. I don't think Mexico has had any cases of this. So if it's happening in the United, if it's a problem with e-cigarettes, right? Why isn't it happening all over the world? Why is it just in the United States of America? Could it be that we got some bad stuff on the streets here in the United States of America? But again, Monica Barrell completely undercuts the rationale for this when she says, our goal is simple. We do not want another generation of children to become addicted to nicotine. Then enforce the laws that are on the books. We have laws that make it illegal for anyone under the age of 21 to have cigarettes. You can't possess them. We have laws that make it illegal for anyone to sell tobacco products, anything containing nicotine, to people under the age of 21. Enforce the law. If we have middle schoolers vaping, they're not, somebody is selling them that product. Go find who's selling it and take their license to sell tobacco away from them or shut their store down. We have middle schoolers playing the lottery, by the way. Nobody gets upset about that. Oh, the children are vaping. The children are vaping. This is why the people who are suing are going to prevail. Here's, once again, from ABC. This is, what's a Baramaga. Aga owns four vape shops and told ABC News that he found out about the ban via Twitter. Quote, no warning was given. I found out on Twitter, that the ban was happening. And then everything went into chaos, he said. 7 years of hard work gone in 5 minutes. Aga added that he had been in business for over 7 years and has never received any complaints over health problems from his products from customers. And he has also had zero violations of any health codes. Aga said he was forced to lay off his entire staff of 11 people. Nicely done, Baker administration. Good work. You put 11 people out of work. Quote, this is Aga again. Everything is in chaos right now because today is the first. Bills need to be paid today. Our accounts are depleted. I have no clue what to do next. One of my employees has four kids, so he is in a state of panic at the moment. With the lawsuit, Aga said he hopes it gives the store owners a chance to be heard. Quote, I hope the judge listens to us and sees what all the shop owners are going through and makes a fair decision. It's not just the businesses that are being impacted. He said that he receives calls from customers every day asking for an update, and that a lot of them have told him that they have switched back to smoking cigarettes or are simply driving to a neighboring state to buy their products. As the crackdown on vaping products reaches a fever pitch nationwide and multiple states announce bans on flavored e-cigarettes, the lawsuit contends that there is a common conflation that all vapes are causing the mysterious lung illnesses. While some cases of lung illness occurred among smokers who used only nicotine e-cigarettes, the and again, I have not seen that evidence anywhere, okay? I don't know where that's coming from. I've been following what the CDC has been reporting on this. I haven't seen anything that says e-cigarettes were responsible for this. The majority of cases were among smokers who used THC vape products, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Other e-cigarette smokers with lung disease used both nicotine and THC devices. So I think that's where you get the connection to the e-cigarettes. Quote, this outbreak does not appear to be associated with traditional legally sold e-cigarettes, but with illicit and sometimes counterfeit THC vaping cartridges, said Dr. Michael Siegel, a professor at Boston University School of Public Health. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health declined to comment, citing that it does not comment on pending litigation. Well, look, these are your tax dollars, folks. The Baker administration has not only put all these people out of work, it's not only jeopardized these legal businesses, but is now going to have to spend your tax dollars to defend itself against this ban. And it is a battle it is going to lose. And I will tell you exactly why they're going to lose that battle. Because Karen Pulido came out and said there are 8,000 flavors to make them easier and more appealing to youth. And because our health commissioner said our goal is simple. We do not want another generation of children to become addicted to nicotine. What does that have to do with the vaping illness? Nothing. You may remember, and I brought this up last week, you may remember there was a case before the United States Supreme Court. The Trump administration was attempting to get the citizenship question back on the U.S. Census, right? And the Supreme Court looked at it and said, listen, there are legitimate reasons to put the citizenship question back on the United States Census. But you lied to us when you told us, and you lied to the lower court when you told them why you wanted this question on there. Okay? The Trump administration wants that on there so they can figure out who the illegals are and deport them. And they said, no, 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 no. We just want to figure out voting districts and all the rest of that. And the Supreme Court saw through it and said, no, that's not what you want. That's not what you said. What you when you say that to us, you are playing fast and loose with the truth. And this is the same thing that's going on here. Okay? The Baker administration has taken advantage of a public health crisis to ban a legal product. They have put people out of work. They have threatened business owners. They've threatened the life savings of people who've been selling this stuff legally for years. And they're going to waste your tax dollars to defend it. Now, at any point in time, you can lift the ban, Governor. You can lift the ban. Lift the ban. All this goes away. Everybody goes back to work. Everybody's happy again. Something tells me they're going to dig in. And something tells me they're going to lose. I know they're going to lose. Because these quotes are on the record. When you have your health commissioner, all right, talking to the media and saying our goal is simple. We do not want another generation of children to become addicted to nicotine. That has nothing to do with the vaping illness. That is social engineering by government officials. And guess what? That's illegal. So you're going to lose. You may even wind up having to pay restitution. There goes some more of our tax dollars to the businesses impacted by this. So great job there. Well done. And as I said, I bear no ill will toward the governor, okay? I Governor Baker, generally speaking, does a good job around here. You can't complain about much in Massachusetts. This one came out of left field. And I have a problem with it. I think a lot of people have a problem with it. And we have a problem with it for good reason. Because this is not what responsible leadership does. And if you don't want kids vaping, if the children are vaping is our problem, enforce the laws on the books. Find out who's selling these vape products to the kids and shut them down. You don't have to shut down the whole industry to do that. Go find the bad actors and shut them down. I can tell you that there are a number of communities here in Massachusetts that do an exceptional job enforcing their tobacco laws. Because they conduct undercover stings and they pull licenses and they shut businesses down. And the shopkeepers get to know real quick if somebody looks like they're under 40. Town I live in, all right, I'm well over 21. I have to show ID to get cigarettes wherever I go in town. I have to show them ID. They card everyone. You know why? Because they're getting shut down if they sell tobacco to someone who's underage. And one of these locations is right across the street from a middle school. And the town has done an exceptional job at keeping cigarettes out of the hands of kids. You don't need to shut down the entire industry, okay? You don't need to use a public health crisis as a false justification. Because the children are vaping. It's WMFO Medford.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast. Autumn. Autumn is coming. The children are vaping. And autumn is coming. So I think we're happy about one of those things. The kids seem to be pretty happy that they're vaping. So anyway, here's what you got, folks. Tonight, still going to be some clouds blowing around, but you are going to notice it get very, very cold depending on where you are. If you get out a bit from the city, 10 miles or so, I expect temperatures in the upper 40s. Downtown's going to be around 50 degrees tomorrow. Partly sunny skies, high in the mid-50s, low in the mid-50s tomorrow night. And then on Friday, we will have some rain and showers around. High around 58 degrees. Lows again in the mid-40s Friday night. Saturday, beautiful, sunny, perfect autumn day. High of about 60 degrees. Nice, crisp night. Lows in the mid-40s Saturday night. And then Sunday, few more clouds blowing around, but still very nice day. Not maybe a shower somewhere, but no heavy rain. High of about 68 on Sunday, lows in the mid-60s Sunday night. And then Monday, we're going to have some more rain blow through here, and then it's going to cool off again. So we're getting into that fall weather pattern, At long last, it's about time. It's October. You know, you don't want the pumpkins sweating. It's bad for the pumpkins when they sweat. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. Derek Airey with you until 9 o'clock on The Talent. Mikey D coming your way with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene at 9 o'clock. The big story for today that has been making the rounds on all of the... There's been making the rounds on all the news stations. You've probably heard it by now. I know I promised I wasn't going to talk about the election until November. And I'm sticking to that unless a big story comes up that is sort of outside of the general presidential politics end of things. And it just so happens that we have one of those stories today. Bernie Sanders, who is, depending on which poll you look at, certainly one of the front runners. Certainly one of the front runners in this year's election. Was hospitalized last night. He had some chest pains while he was doing an appearance on the campaign trail. And he was hospitalized and had heart surgery last night. So this comes to us from ABC News, the Disney News channel, adding mouse ears to the ABC logo soon. Bernie Sanders hospitalized for blocked artery. Campaign events canceled. Senator Bernie Sanders, 78, was hospitalized Tuesday night in Las Vegas. Quote, during a campaign event yesterday evening, Senator Sanders experienced some chest discomfort. Following medical evaluation and testing, he was found to have a blockage in one artery and two stents were successfully inserted, said Sanders' senior advisor Jeff Weaver on Wednesday in a statement. Quote, Senator Sanders is conversing and in good spirits. He will be resting up over the next few days, Weaver said. We are canceling his events and appearances until further notice, and we will continue to provide appropriate updates. Following the Tuesday morning statement from the campaign, Sanders tweeted later in the day that he's feeling good and on message, used the opportunity to plug Medicare for All. This is from his Twitter feed. Thanks for all the well wishes. I'm feeling good. I'm fortunate to have good health care and great doctors and nurses helping me to recover. None of us know when a medical emergency might affect us, and no one should fear going bankrupt if it occurs. Medicare for All. Sanders remains hospitalized, a source told ABC News. Weaver led an all-staff phone call this morning to inform the entire campaign, according to a source familiar with the call. An additional source familiar described the call as subdued. So, Bernie Sanders, 78, is running for president. And look, one of the aspects of our license is that I can't endorse candidates. Okay, and I can't tell you how to vote. I can't tell you who I support ahead of time. Can't do any of that. You know, I can't influence your vote, basically. And I wouldn't try to anyway. That's not who I am as an individual. But if you listen to the show, you know that I voted for Bernie Sanders in the Massachusetts primary in 2016. And that, generally speaking, as much as I dislike socialism, I don't entirely dislike Bernie Sanders. Okay? I think he's got some good ideas. I think the negatives of someone like Bernie Sanders could be kept in check by a strong Congress in the United States. And I would not be opposed to him being in the White House. I don't think that's going to happen at this point. One thing that the American people consider, not overtly, we don't necessarily talk about it during an election cycle, but it's something that certainly goes into our thought process when we're looking at presidential candidates, is their health and their age. How old is this guy? Is this guy going to make it? Now, that being said, Dick Cheney won election twice as Vice President of the United States. But I will say this. Dick Cheney was not the top name on the ticket. People were voting for George W. Bush. And if Dick Cheney happened to be there, Dick Cheney happened to be there. A lot of people didn't like the fact that Dick Cheney was there. Voted for George W. Bush anyway because they did not care for the alternatives that were presented. The one case where I can think of a vice presidential candidate seriously blowing up a presidential candidacy is when John McCain ran with Sarah Palin as his running mate, because pretty much everybody looked at that and said, John McCain is an older guy. We don't know how long, because he was in his 70s. We're like, we don't know how long he's going to be around, which means Sarah Palin could be running the country. And nobody was comfortable with that. George Bush was healthy, you know, healthy and sober by that point in his life. So everybody said, you know what, Cheney's never going to get into the White House. It's okay. We can vote for Bush. So if the name at the top of the ticket has a health issue, the American people are going to take a long, hard look at the vice presidential candidate. But they may just look at the name at the top of the ticket. And it wasn't a case with John McCain, as I recall, because John McCain, up until the very end of his life, he died, of course, a couple of years ago after battling cancer. But John McCain, up until the end of his life, was a very vital man. You know, he was a vital figure. He cut a figure of health and fitness. And you look to John McCain, you said, man, that, yeah, I wish, you know, I'm in my 50s and I know that guy could run circles around me, you know, or I'm in my 30s and John McCain can do more push-ups than I can. John McCain was an impressive physical specimen. Bernie Sanders, I mean, you look at the guy and it's like he's got a lot of energy. Nobody's going to take away the fact that he has a lot of energy. One of his doctors said, as a result of this surgery, as a result of the stents, he's going to have even more energy. Well, that's great. But 78 years old, you just had heart surgery. Are the American people going to back Bernie Sanders as a presidential candidate now? And I think we all know the answer to this question. And I think the answer to this question is not something that the Sanders campaign wants to hear. I don't think he is a viable presidential candidate at this point. Not because of any policy position. And I'm not telling you to abandon Bernie Sanders. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote for Bernie Sanders. I'm not saying you shouldn't like Bernie Sanders. I don't care who you vote for, as long as you vote. That's all I ask. Just vote. Okay? Vote for your dog. All right? I have a very good friend that votes for his dog for president every 4 years and has been doing this consistently for as long as I've known him. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. He writes in his dog's name every year because he inevitably doesn't like the people who are running for president. He still votes, and he votes for all of the other races. You know, he votes for senators and representatives and all that. He just doesn't like whoever's running for president. There are a lot of people. Tim Pool hates everybody who's been president. I have my problems with a majority of them. I look back and I try and find one that was really, like, genuinely good. And I'm like, ooh, there really isn't one. You know, I can think of some who were good for the... I can think of some who were better for the country than others. But whenever a president comes in, I expect they're going to do some things right, and I expect they're going to do some things wrong. And it comes down to a question of balance. You know, at the end of the day, if you're a president or presidential candidate, and you're not trying to take my rights away from me, and you're not playing fast and loose with the Constitution, I'm probably going to be okay with you. If you are trying to take my rights away from me, then I'm going to have a philosophical problem with that. We want a president who's going to be up to the task. You know, everybody talks about, oh, who's going to answer the phone at 3 a.m.? It's one of the smartest political ads that was ever created, by the way, is who's going to answer when the phone rings at 3 in the morning? Who's going to answer that phone? I forget who ran that campaign, but it was a campaign against a candidate. And I think it might have been a campaign that was run against Ronald Reagan, possibly by Mondale. But I forget the specifics of it. But who's going to answer the phone at 3 a.m.? And they were taking a shot at Reagan's age. Now, Reagan, at the time he was elected, was one of the oldest. I think he may have been the oldest person sworn into office as president of the United States. He's a young man compared to some of the folks we got running now. All right? We got Bernie Sanders out here. He's 78. Donald Trump, 72. Am I right about that? That Donald Trump is 72 years old? Donald Trump is 70. See, I'm off. Donald Trump is 73 years old. Elizabeth Warren. How old is she? 70. Do we have any non-septuagenarians running for president? Hey, we have Pete Buttigieg. He's young. Beto O'Rourke is my age. These people are all over 70. Like, whatever happened to, like, the young, you know, did Barack Obama really wear us out on young presidents that much? Wasn't it fun having a young, active, like, culturally aware president in the White House for 8 years? You know, somebody who would invite, like, Kanye and Beyonce to the White House, and then have a big dance party. And, like, NBA players are coming over and shooting hoops with the president. I mean, that's cool. That's fun. No one's doing that with these folks. You know who's coming over? Their personal physician is coming over. And their nurses are coming over. And whoever brings them their pills is coming over. I'm not going to say Joe Biden is 76. Can we get some young people running for president? I know you got to be over 35 to do it, but you don't have to be twice that to do it. But as far as Bernie goes, I think this is the end of the line for this campaign, and I expect we're going to hear within the next couple of weeks that they are going to withdraw from the race. Before they do that, there will be a lot of polling. There's a lot of money tied up in the Sanders campaign right now. He's got supporters. But practically speaking, if you know that you're not going to carry a general election, if you know that you're not going to win the primary, and if you are not running the race with an eye toward the next election cycle, which Bernie Sanders certainly is not going to run for president at 82, is he? A lot of us are surprised that he's running this time. Everything is there to take Bernie Sanders out of the race at this point. And it's, you know, I know the heart surgeons do great work these days, minimally invasive. You're back on your feet in a couple of days because the health system doesn't want you hanging around the hospital. But the idea that he's going to come back from a heart attack, and it's not, they haven't said the word heart attack, so I shouldn't use that phrase. The idea that he's going to come back from chest pains and heart surgery, where they put stents into his heart, and win the primary is too far out there. We want our presidential candidates to at least have good health, the appearance of good health and vigor. And look, Bernie does. I'm not going to argue that Bernie Sanders doesn't have a tremendous amount of vigor. He's more energetic than some of the young people, the younger people who are up on the debate stage with him. And if you've watched the debates, you know this. Bernie is still firing on all cylinders, and Bernie can get up a great head of steam once he gets going. But I think this becomes something, and you'll see the polls. The polls will start coming out in a couple of days. The phone calls are being made right now. They compile the data tomorrow. By Friday, maybe they'll wait until Monday because Friday is just news dump day where no one pays attention. Maybe they'll wait till Monday. You know, Americans, you know, 80% of Americans say won't vote for Sanders, and that's it. That's it. It's over at that point. So I expect that's where this is going to go. And we're going to see Bernie Sanders withdraw from the presidential race. And that, you know, we still have Biden. We still have Elizabeth Warren. I think you can ask the question of who else is a legitimate candidate at this point. It does create an opportunity for someone to step in and take that number three spot, Pete Buttigieg. Kamala Harris. Who knows who that third person could be? But it's an interesting development, and as I said, I think this is pretty much going to be it for Bernie Sanders. In other national news, a bit of context. I studied hard science when I was in college. I studied anthropology, and I was going to minor in anthropology. Because I loved it, because I was very much into it, because I was actually pretty good at figuring out the science end of things. And I had a wonderful professor, anthropologist by the name of Dr. Misha Landau, who was a powerful advocate for me and really went out of her way to encourage me to understand the rules of science. And this is one of the things that she really taught us. You know, it wasn't, her courses weren't so much about, well, this is, you know, Homo sapiens, and this is Homo erectus, and this is Louis Leakey, and, you know, this is Verba, and this is these. It was about helping us to understand the way the science worked. That's what she was teaching us. Because one of the things about anthropology is that it is all theoretical. We are taking evidence from the past and looking at it and saying, what does this mean? What does this jawbone go to? Where does this skull fit in the evolution of mankind? And you learn a lot about the scientific process and how science works. So when I sit here and talk about how science works, I'm not sitting here as some, you know, random observer who's never been around science or scientists saying, well, you know, it's this and it's that. No, I studied it, you know, and I wrote papers and I analyzed papers and I did the research work and the critical work and everything that you need to do. So when I hear things like climate change is settled science, I know that's not true, okay, because it's not. There is no such thing as settled science. There is consensus, but there is no settled science. The way that science works is that somebody gets some data, puts forward a theory, and says, this is this. That's the way it happens in anthropology. It always builds off of what we're able to find. Someone goes into a cave, finds some skeletons, and says, okay, based on what we know from other scientists and other research, we think this is this. And then they write a paper. Other scientists look at the paper and they say, okay, yes, this looks good. Or they say, you're a crazy person. And the debate begins. And out of that debate and out of those arguments, we are constantly refining our theories, constantly refining our knowledge of the world, constantly refining our understanding of the way things work. So debate in science is good. What is bad in science is when a group of people take the attitude that they're right and everyone else is wrong. This happens throughout all the sciences, by the way. It happens in anthropology, happens in psychology, happens in nutrition. And that brings me to this story. From NPR.com. No need to cut back on red meat. Controversial new guidelines. They got the scare quotes around guidelines. Lead to outrage. NPR is now in the fake news business, apparently. If you're using the word outrage to describe the reaction, actually, they may not be. Because in this case, it is the scientists themselves who are being hyperbolic, emotional children. And so we can make the case that NPR is reporting this accurately. A new set of analyses published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine challenges the widespread recommendations to cut back on red and processed meats. The prominent medical journal has also published a new recommendation from a panel of scientists, many of whom are not nutrition experts. Uh-oh. Quote, the panel suggests adults continue current processed meat consumption, according to the guideline paper. In other words, no need to cut back. Scores of nutrition experts say this conclusion contradicts a large body of evidence from decades of observational studies that has found that people who consume less red and processed meats over time have lower rates of heart disease and death from certain cancers, including colorectal cancer. Recommendations from the American Heart Association and the American Cancer Society, as well as the U.S. dietary guidelines, all call for limiting red meats and processed meats. So a group of scientists did a study, and this is actually what's known as a review study. They looked at all of the studies that had been done about red meat And they said, these studies are crap. And they said, these studies are crap because you didn't use a control group. The way you do science is you have two groups of people. And I'll use drug testing as an example because it's the easiest example to understand. When a drug company comes out with a new pill, they run clinical trials. And the way clinical trials work is you have a bunch of people, let's say they all have asthma, okay? And I have a new asthma pill. So I'm going to sign up a bunch of people with asthma. I have 50 people who have asthma. I'm going to split them in half. 25 of those people are going to get my new asthma pill. The other 25 people are going to get a sugar pill. Doesn't have any medicine in it. Doesn't do anything. They are what's known as the control group. Okay? And the control group exists so that researchers can understand the exact effect of the medicine. So I give my asthma pill to those 25 people, and I give my sugar pill to the control group, and the people who get the pill all get better and don't have asthma anymore. And the control group, nobody gets better. Well, then I know that my pill does something. If I give them my asthma pill, and two of them get better and don't have asthma anymore, and my control group, two people get better, even though they're taking the sugar pill, and they don't have asthma anymore, then my medicine is completely ineffective. This is what control groups do. The argument that is being made by these scientists is that the majority of nutritional studies that have been done don't use a control group. They just rely on surveys of people, where people come in and they sit down, they get 10,000 people, tell us what you ate last week. They write down what they ate. And they follow them for 8 years. And for 8 years, they write down what they eat. And they look at what people eat. And they look at how much cancer they have, or how much diabetes they have, or how much heart disease they have. And then at the end of it, they say red meat is bad for you. Because all these people with diabetes and cancer and heart disease ate red meat. This other group of scientists looked at that and said, that's nonsense. You have no control group. How do you know the red meat is responsible? Maybe they all live next to the highway and they're breathing car exhaust all day long. Maybe they have radon in the basement. Maybe they get too much sun. Maybe people who eat a lot of red meat engage in other kinds of bad behavior. Maybe they're heavy drinkers. Did you look into that? Maybe they all smoke after they have those delicious steaks. Did you think about that? So they looked at all of these nutritional studies. And they said the vast majority of this is garbage. This is weak information. We don't know, was the conclusion that they came to. They looked at all these studies and they said, you know what? There are a couple of studies here that were small, that had control groups, and they didn't find any link between red meat and processed meat and cancer and diabetes and heart disease. They didn't find any link. They couldn't prove it. So all you have is a bunch of surveys. It's weak science. Is what these doctors are saying. This is how science works. This is how science is meant to work. Because you have all these nutrition experts walking around conducting all of these surveys, right? And then some other scientists come along and say, you know what? Are these surveys actually worth anything? Is this good science? And they look at it and they say, no, it's not. You haven't proven anything. Well, there is no better way to earn the wrath of a scientist than to tell them that their study is no good. But it goes beyond this, and this is where it gets interesting. Quote, I am outraged and bewildered, says nutrition scientist Christopher Gardner, a professor of medicine at Stanford University. Quote, this is perplexing, given the clear evidence for harm associated with high red meat intake, says Frank Hu, the chair of the Department of Nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. He's right up the road. Gardner and Hu are among a group of scientists who signed a letter to the journal's editor requesting the papers be held pending further review. They're trying to block the study from being released. They are trying to stop science from being published. because they don't like what it says. That is not science. That is not how science works. That is how people who are trying to defend their own positions bully other scientists out of getting to reality and fact, which should be the goal of science. These doctors aren't interested in facts, okay, because they've already made it up in their own minds. They're already convinced red meat bad. Red meat bad. And if anybody says, no, red meat not bad, oh, that has to be silenced. That has to be stopped. Does this sound familiar? Have we heard this maybe in other branches of science? Others include Dairush Mazafarian, the dean of the Friedman School of Nutrition at Tufts University. Oh, Dariush, come on. As well as Eric Rim and Dr. Walter Willett, also of Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Nutrition scientists point to research, such as a study published in 2015, that finds that people who have a habit, who have a pattern of eating a diet that is lower in red and processed meats, have a reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease and some cancers. Quote, there's a lot more agreement out there than people think, Gardner says. However, the authors of the new papers published in Annals say they're not convinced by the studies that link red and processed meats to higher health risks. They conclude that the existing guidelines from leading health groups to limit red and processed meats are, quote, weak recommendations that are based on low certainty evidence. So what explains this divide? In a nutshell, the authors of the new analyses have used an alternative approach to evaluate the evidence. They've used a system known as GRADE, which is a process to rate the quality of scientific evidence. Using this approach, a kind of study known as a randomized controlled trial, or RCT for short, is considered high quality evidence. That's what I was talking about when I explained drug trials to you earlier. That is a randomized controlled trial, where you have people who get the pill, people who get the sugar pill, and then you can look at the exact results in these two groups of people. Nutrition scientist Frank Hu of Harvard says the problem with GRADE is that it was mainly developed for evaluating evidence from drug trials. Quote, it's really problematic and inappropriate to use GRADE to evaluate nutrition studies, he says. Most of nutrition science is built on another type of study, observational studies. These are conducted by tracking the eating habits of people over many years. But here's the rub. The GRADE system considers these observational studies to be low quality. And then they go into the description of how that, what that is, how that works. Where does this leave us, the eaters who are trying to make good choices? Quote, there may be a benefit from reducing your intake of red or processed meat, and people should know that, says Bradley Johnson, one of the authors of the new analyses. On the other hand, there may not be a benefit at all, Johnson says. We're uncertain. That is the correct answer. We're uncertain is the correct answer. But this is completely impractical, says Harvard's Rim. Quote, can you imagine the cost if you had to give patients red meat almost every day for a decade and then convince the other group not to eat meat for a decade? The editor of Annals of Internal Medicine, Dr. Christine Lane, says she agrees it would be tough to carry out such a study. Quote, we're not going to be able to do a randomized controlled trial that is going to definitively answer this question, Lane told us. There is another angle in this that was not reported by NPR, but that was reported by some other outlets. At least one, I don't know if it's one of the ones quoted here by NPR, but at least one of these Harvard nutrition professors is a vegan and professes that the vegan diet is the only diet that any of us should eat. And he says, we're ruining the planet with meat. People shouldn't eat meat. Meat, red meat bad. Planet good, red meat bad, climate change, and this is where you go completely off the rails. We have science, we have doctors, we have scientists trying to get a study blocked because it contradicts their gospel. That's really what it comes down to. It contradicts their gospel. It contradicts their belief, red meat bad. Red meat is not necessarily bad for you. It's not necessarily good for you. We don't know is the best answer that anyone is going to give you right now. Now, I could tell you that historically, you want if you want to go back into our family chain, and remember, I studied anthropology, we ate a lot of meat. okay? Man is an omnivore. Our ancestors were omnivores, okay? We don't eat meat because it's convenient, by the way. We do not eat meat because it's convenient. We did not develop arrows and spears and axolotls because meat is convenient. We developed those things because we needed the protein. We needed the food, and we had to go hunt dangerous animals. Do you think a vegan species is going to do that? Is a vegan species going to invest its time and its very limited resources? Remember, we're still running around the savannah at this point. Okay? We're living in very primitive shelters. Material to make spears and knives, cutting tools, and arrows and bows is hard to come by. And it takes a tremendous amount of effort and energy to do this. Do you think we're going to do that if we could just get everything that we need from some soybeans? No. We are hunting those animals because we need the meat. Because we know we need the meat. There are plenty of animals that are pure vegetarians. And they migrate with their food. We didn't really do that if you look back into human history. There was a big exodus out of Africa at one point. We don't fully understand the reasons why. We think it may have been due to environmental change. We think it may have been due to extreme drought. And that we moved out of the area where we initially evolved. And some of us went north and some of us went south. But in both cases, in all of those societies, you find a tradition of hunting and a tradition of eating meat. So clearly, we have at least evolved to eat red meat and gain nutrition from red meat and keep ourselves healthy to an extent from red meat. Is it bad for us over a long period of time? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Processed meat, you don't have to convince me that processed foods are bad for you, okay? Processed foods are bad for you. Unless we're talking about delicious, salty prosciutto, which has been aged. That's not bad for you. Or we're talking about like Spam, you know, like there are naturally processed foods and there are unnaturally processed foods. Like the stuff they make chicken McNuggets out of, okay? May have been chicken at one point in its life. You don't want to know how the McNuggets are made. The correct answer is that we don't know. We're uncertain. And as long as we're uncertain, scientists who are working on these observational studies need to make room for other scientists to come in and say, you realize that what you're telling people isn't really based on sound science. Because the people making that observation are correct. They have an open mind. And they have nothing to sell. They're coming out and they're saying, we don't know. We're uncertain. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad. The science isn't there yet. Science isn't there yet is always the right answer when it comes to science. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. It is WMFO Medford. I am here for another 11 odd minutes before Mikey D comes in here on The Talent Mikey D with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Still ahead, my favorite thing from the past week, the strangest thing from the past week, and a very important announcement about our WMFO and Big Picture radio family right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Pumpkins, and slimy green. Orange juice too. Well, that's just fine. Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice. Ride with the moon in the dead of night. Everybody scream, everybody scream. In our town of Halloween.
I am the guy with the tearaway face. You in a flash and gone without a trace.
Jack might catch you in the back and scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin. This is Halloween. Everybody scream. Won't you please make way for a very special guy? Our man Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone hail to the pumpkin king. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. 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 Halloween.
In this place we call home.
The motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year, starring Donald Pleasance.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Halloween, the night he came home. Rated R.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
For 91.5 FM, waning moments of the big picture here on WMFO. Time now for What's Hot, my favorite things from the past week. And one of them is congratulations to my former co-host, Lisa Nichols, and her husband, Warren Means, for growing the big picture and the WMFO listening family. Poppy Rose was born September 27th. And she and mother are both in good health and enjoying their new life together. So tremendous congratulations to Lisa and Warren on the birth of Poppy Rose. Maybe we'll have them come in here and we'll have Poppy coo into the microphone one of these days. Also, coming up this weekend, hey, it's fall. And there is no better way to celebrate fall in Massachusetts than to go to the Topsfield Fair. That's right, America's oldest fair, happening again, starts this weekend. Saturday, as I mentioned earlier, is going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. Perfect time to go out and check out the Topsfield Fair and check out the pumpkin weighing competition. That happens on Saturday morning. So if you get up there early on Saturday, you can actually see them weigh the pumpkins. And you may see a Guinness World Record set. So that's worth checking out. They've got food. They've got rides. They've got animals. They've got vegetable exhibits. They got giant sand sculpture every single year. It is a great time for everybody in the family. And it's actually usually pretty reasonable to get in, too. It's one of the more cost-effective options that you have, as long as you don't go nuts down in the Midway. If you are looking for entertainment, they've actually got a couple of interesting bands coming up for this thing. Coming up on... what is this? Where do they move the bands to? Here we go. October 9th, Tommy James and the Shondells are going to be at Topsfield Fair. October 10th, 38 Special. Hold on loosely. 38 Special is going to be at the Topsfield Fair. And then on October 11th, they've got the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And all of this closes out on October 12th with members of Creedence Clearwater Revival. That's Creedence Clearwater Revisited is going to be playing. That is actually a separately ticketed event. It's $25 if you want to go see that. But 38 Special, Tommy James, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, playing for free. So if you go to the fair, you can go see one of these classic bands for free. You can get all the details at topsfieldfair.org, topsfieldfair.org. They're also on Facebook. You can get details there. If you haven't been, please go. I've been going to this thing since I was a little kid. It is one of the highlights of my year. You will not regret checking out the Topsfield Fair. It's small. It's fun. It's well run. If you pay attention, if you know what you're doing, you can get in and out of there with a family without spending a lot of money, and you will get a great autumn New England experience. What more do you want? Where's your head at? As we do every week. That's the thing that happens. Louisiana. Who knew Nerf could be so dangerous? Hansi Palm, 40, and very irate, confronted her husband when he came home over her suspicions that he was having an affair. Instead of hearing him out, she began pistol whipping her husband with a pair of Nerf guns. Responding police noted that her husband had cuts and scrapes and that Pham was still holding the two guns. Pham was arrested on domestic battery charges. No word from Nerf on whether they'll start making the guns out of foam, too. And at last check, she had not been bailed out of jail. So I think her husband's a little unhappy getting pistol whipped with the Nerf guns. Kids, don't pistol whip each other with the Nerf guns. That is not how they are meant to be used. And that is just about all the time that we have for this week. Once again, congratulations. Heartfelt congratulations to Lisa Nichols on the birth of Poppy Rose. Wish you all the best. Great to know that the Big Picture family is getting a little bit bigger. Who knows? Maybe I'll have an announcement along those lines one of these days. We'll see. But for now, it is almost time for On the Tell with Mikey D. Remember, don't forget, Topsfield Fair is going on this weekend. Also, as I mentioned last week, for you film fans out there, Joker in 70mm is going to be playing right up the street here at the Somerville Theater and across town at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline. If you like movies, go see movies in 70mm. Please support this. When you go to buy tickets online, they will have those shows specifically listed. You will see 70mm presentation or 70mm film in the description. Go check it out in 70mm, especially if you're a millennial and you've never seen film. Trust me, go see it in 70mm. It will change your life. You'll be happier for the experience, and you'll be looking for more opportunities to see film as it was meant to be seen. So until next time.